Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, "I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. I love seeing them enjoy this math program and grow in their mathematical journey. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children. If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am so excited to be back with you today. And oh my goodness, I love this guest that we have on. Rachel Carman, you have been on with us, I don't even know how many times. I think you actually hold the record now for being on the podcast the most as far as guests. And we love it because every time you are on, you bring such great encouragement. And we, Abby and I think it might be kind of a self-serving thing, right, Abby, where we just have you on because...
But because we love you.
Because we love you.
And
you
and... like our third wheel.
Yes,
well,
yeah.
I feel such a common focus and heart with the two of you. Our time together is always so rich and we're all in different stages, but yep, we share the same passion in our hearts to encourage moms. So I'm just honored to be here again. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, thank you for joining us again. And for those of you who might be watching this on YouTube, we would love it if you would like this video, subscribe to our channel, and then share this with your friends. And if you're listening, of course, share this with your friends as well. It is so exciting to watch the numbers. Every week, we're watching the numbers for the podcast go up. And that's not because we're amazing and have done something incredible. It's because the Lord is using this ministry that He's called us to be able to encourage the hearts of moms and dads all around the world. It's very exciting to be part of this. So make sure that you share this with your people. But we are going to talk with Rachel today about rest for the weary. And I love this topic because we are all weary at one time or another. You might be going through a season in your life right now where things are good and you've got things under control and things are going the way that you want them to go, but you will soon, if you haven't already been, and I don't say this in a discouraging way, but you will come into a season where you're just feeling weary. And I think we've all been there. I'm sure we've all been there in one way or another, whether it's with homeschooling, with parenting, with marriage, with friendships and family, no matter what stage of life we're in, we have all come through these phases of weariness. And so, Rachel, you and I were messaging back and forth a few weeks ago, and I know the Lord has really put this on your heart because just as Abby and I are seeing, there are so many moms who are just ready to give up. I mean, the pressures... Yeah. of life are big. They're intense. Yeah. It's life, it's homeschooling, it's parenting, it's all the things that weigh on us every day. And so I'm excited to just have you bring some encouragement to us, the weary mamas that we sometimes mm-hmm. are. So what are you seeing out there, Rachel, as you're on social media and talking to moms and interacting with different homeschool moms and maybe some who aren't homeschooling? What have you seen through the last year? Because man, it's been quite a ride.
It has, and it's been a really hard ride. You know, this is like the never ending roller coaster that none of us stood in line to get on, right? We just kind of got stuck on this, right? And we keep trying to figure out where's the off button, you know, yeah. Where do I exit this train? And the ups and the downs and the unexpected, the demands, the changes, the requirements, the mandates. Yeah. I mean, everything has just been a swirl. So whether you've been homeschooling for a while, whether you were thrown into homeschooling, whether you were forced to homeschool, it doesn't really matter which one of those has been your circumstance. It's just been hard. And I was on social media the other day. I try to hop on to several different venues and just sort of, you know, just as the Lord leads, I really feel like anytime I'm on, because I'm really not on very often, mm-hmm. because I still have 2 teenage boys that I'm trying to finish strong with. But when I get on, I really feel like the interactions I have are truly God-ordained mm-hmm. because I don't sit there and just read everything, right? I mean, I get on for like a limited amount of time and I'm on. And this one day, a couple of weeks ago, it just felt like every one of the postings I read from moms were just, help! You know, like worry, anxiety, panic, worry, anxiety, panic. You know, I'm overwhelmed. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. Maybe this just isn't for me. I can't. Somebody come over to my house. You know, it's just like this swirl that they were just being taken under. And I was literally crying, trying. I mean, you can only reach through a screen so far, right? Yeah. And I just was, and I'm just like, oh, honey, take a breath. Just take a breath. Because, you know, you feel, I feel like being a mom is hard without the political climate we've had, right? And that's not a squirrel I'm willing to chase her today. That's another episode.
That's but for truly, Heidi St. John to chase.
There you go. There you go. That's her expertise.
That's right.
But you don't have to be her to feel it.
Yeah.
Right. And to be living in it and to feel like the riptide's about to take you under.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really feel like we need to come back and refocus. Mm-hmm. We need to, because we're not called to chaos. I mean, that's going to set somebody free right there. We're not called to this infinite spin of frustration and confusion and overwhelm. That's not God's call on our life.
Yeah.
And so I just felt like, and that's why I texted you. I knew you had recently relocated and I wanted to reach out into you anyway, but this particular day I was like, we got to say something. Yeah. These moms are exhausted.
Yes.
We need to throw them a life raft or something.
Yeah.
You need to give them something to hold on to. So,
yeah.
Right.
You talk about come back and refocus. How do you do that? Because, and so let's talk to the mom who maybe she's been in a season where everything is going really well. And now she feels like everything is just falling apart.
Sure.
Let's focus on that mom first. And then I want to come back and talk to the mom who feels like she's never had it together. Like she just, like, it's always been chaos. It's always, everything's always a mess all of the time. So how do, when we've had that season where we feel like things are going well, how do we bring it back? How do we refocus and get back to where we have rest?
Yeah. And I love that question because we do go through seasons, right? Where it's like, everything's going really good right now. Mm-hmm. Can anybody move? Right? Can we freeze frame this shot? This is awesome, right? I have dinner on and it's 8 a.m. This is awesome, you know, and all of the kids are getting along and they even said, yes, ma'am. And breakfast was on time. You know, and you just think, this is it. And just as soon as you acknowledge that things are going great, it's like the dominoes fall, right? So yeah, full disclosure, God has blessed me with something quite accidental. I have a group of about 8 moms that come to my house once or twice a month as sort of a small mom's mentor group. And we've been able to carry this through COVID. And when we got together in, I think it was in January, this was my first indication, even before social media, that we had to say something, right? And these are young moms that I know and love well. Some of them I've known for years, and some of them are new to me. But the weight that they brought into the house that day, I mean, I could feel when they came in for the evening, just this, you know, just the weight. And let's admit this too. And I don't know if this is true for Abby and Yvette. I don't know if this is true for both of you. I know it's true for me. January and February are long months. Can I just get an amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
In the best year, I think February is the longest month of the year. And I know it's the shortest, but it feels like the longest.
Yep.
And so when you're in this place, I feel like the first thing you need to do is just step back, right? I don't think the best course of action when you're feeling like you can't stand anymore is to insist on keep standing. Mm-hmm. I think wisdom dictates, and that's my kids. My kids say that's like my phrase, that's the thing I'm always saying. I think wisdom dictates, mom, that just take a step back and you need to catch your breath. I mean, that's a real thing. You're not going to serve yourself. You're not going to serve your God. You're not going to serve your family well, your husband well, feeling like it's just all out of control. And so I do believe in stepping back and catching your breath. And the thing that strikes me is I've got 3 passages on this that I'd like to weave into all of these different moms, because I think you know, it's God's word that's right. key here. I mean, mm-hmm. the Spirit is going to work through God's word. That is key.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite passages, and it's not unfamiliar, but I'm hoping that I can pull out maybe some new things in it. And that's Matthew 6, 22 through 34. So even moms, if you just want to jot that down and take some time later to go back and really meditate and memorize maybe portions of this, maybe write it down so you can see it. This is this part in the middle. This is powerful, right? Of the Sermon on the Mount. So the Sermon on the Mount, this is Jesus' most well-known sermon, right, to the masses. And one of the most fascinating things to me about Jesus is he talked to the masses, mm-hmm. he talked to the 12, and he spoke to individuals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's powerful. That is so powerful because that's what's true in our own lives, right? So even before we get into the scripture, let's acknowledge that the word of God is for all of us.
Yeah.
It's for us moms, and it's for us individually.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It's not just for the world. It's for us individually. Right. And I love how we see that exemplified in Jesus' interactions as he goes through the gospels. And so this passage is in the middle. So the Sermon on the Mount is the Sermon on the Mount. Can you tell what we did at our homeschooling? The Sermon on the Mount is Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And this is 6, okay? So 5 is the Beatitudes. Mm-hmm. And 6 is this beautiful passage that we know fairly well. And this is the passage where Jesus admonishes everyone not to worry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are a couple of things that jump out to me about this just immediately. So he's just called them to a higher standard. If you go back and read the Beatitudes about being a peacemaker and being meek and hungering and thirsting and daring to be persecuted for his name. So he's elevated the standard. Even when you get on into 5, when he talks about, you know, have you heard it said? You've heard it said you should not commit adultery. I say you shouldn't lust. You've heard it said you shouldn't murder. I say you shouldn't hate. Woo! I mean, yeah. He's already raising the bar and he's not even hanging on Calvary yet, right? So this is pretty powerful stuff. But here in 6, he says, don't worry. Mm-hmm. And you know, one of the things that jumps out to me about that just off the bat is he knows we're going to.
Yep. Yep.
Wow. It doesn't shock him when life broadsides us.
Yeah.
It shocks me. But it doesn't shock him. And he knows. And he says, don't. Don't. And one of the things is I've studied this, is, and this is why. So there's a progression here, right? Worry leads to anxiety, leads to what? Panic.
Mm-hmm.
Worry leads to anxiety, which leads to panic.
Mm-hmm.
Learning to write well in order to effectively communicate ideas can be a challenge for many students. Equipping teachers and teaching parents with methods and materials which will aid them in training their students to become confident and competent communicators and thinkers is key. The Institute for Excellence in Writing is an organization dedicated to training, mentoring, and providing a model for teachers in a clear, sequential, and effective method of teaching writing that reinforces history, science, literature, and other content areas.
Our methodology begins with dictated content. So rather than saying to a child, here, think of something and learn to write, we actually give them the content, and through our 9 units, gradually wean them from dictated content to that blank page.
Through the process of learning to write well, students learn how to think clearly and to express themselves eloquently and persuasively. For more information or to order the program, visit IEW.com.
When we had all 7 of our kids here at the house, we would have like drills, emergency drills, like somebody, you know, breaks an arm or we're in a car accident, or we were really big advocates for practicing before situations happened. So we would practice the kids meeting people, or we would practice an emergency drill, or we would practice first time obedience when it didn't make sense, so that when any of those circumstances presented themselves in real life, the kids were prepared to actually do what needed to be done. One of the things that we taught them in terms of emergency situations was the number one emergency rule was don't panic. Don't panic. And the reason why it's so important not to panic in an emergency, and brain specialists will tell you this, is because it totally shuts down your brain. You can't make a good decision.
Yeah.
You cannot think clearly when you panic. It's like your brain is completely arrested and your emotions and your adrenaline is rushing at a point where you're no longer reasonable. And the beauty of this passage is that that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, don't worry because I don't want you to get anxious because you don't need to panic, right? He's aware of the progression and he's trying to nip it in the bud right here at worry. That's powerful.
That is so powerful. And I keep thinking, I wrote that down, worry leads to anxiety, leads to panic, which then indefinitely leads to defeat, you know? And that's where we end up with these moms then who say, that's it, I quit.
Right.
You know, I quit. And they're not just jumping to I quit when we listen to what you're saying.
Right.
It started somewhere. It started with worry, which then led to anxiety, which then led to the panic.
Exactly. Exactly. And so Jesus is saying, when you feel that worry coming in, let's arrest it right there. And he says, and I love this because I really think a lot of the answers to our worry and our anxiety and our panic, and this is probably going to sound oversimplified, but I got to tell you, I think I'm onto something here, is a really nice walk out in God's creation. A really nice walk outside. See, the context for the Sermon on the Mount wasn't a cathedral. It wasn't the synagogue. It wasn't the temple. It was a mountainside.
Yeah.
It was with birds singing, right? It was with creation worshiping God Almighty. And he even gives a couple of creation examples here in this passage when he says, consider the birds.
Yeah.
Consider the birds.
That's so good.
God takes care of the birds.
Yep.
He takes care of the birds. He's going to take care of you.
That's right.
He's going to take care of you. And so to the mom that is just feeling like I'm going under, step outside.
Yes.
Step outside. You know, we see this example also all the way back in Genesis 15 with Abraham, right? When God enters into the covenant with Abraham, he tells Abraham, step outside.
Yeah.
That is so powerful.
Yeah,
and
look at the stars. Yeah.
That's amazing. I think of that because sometimes, and I'm sure moms feel it, that the walls start shutting in.
Yes.
And the air gets heavy and everything is foggy. And those kids, I lose sight of those precious gifts that God has given me when I'm in the house too long, too many hours a day, trying to have this agenda. And it's amazing how when you step outside, all of a sudden in this big wide world, there are these tiny little kids again with like with excitement in their eyes. And it's good for them to have the fresh air and the sun. And they see you differently than in, and I can't, but what's really hard and help us to understand this is we don't see it until it's too late. Often we don't realize we need to get outside until we've, you know, kind of come unglued or the kids are crying or, and so are there like, are there some specific things that are like these warning signs to like get outside? Because it changes every single time, I can promise. It changes perspective. I wouldn't say take them like to a big group of people because then you're dealing with, but just go do something fun outside. But again, help us understand some of these warning signs so moms can start to see it. Because I know with me, it's too late so often. I didn't realize I was worrying and having anxiety and panicking until I already did, until I've been defeated. Yeah. So
until you lose it and then you got to repent.
Yeah.
And ask forgiveness, which is great.
Right.
But how do you not get there? Right.
Because
as great of an example as that is for our kids to be willing to live in a place where we're willing to ask for forgiveness and that is powerful. And I advocate for that. And I'm glad that we have that. Ideally, we live where we don't have to do that. Certainly not all the time.
Right.
So I think that's an excellent question and one that a lot of us, I think we ignore the signs and the symptoms. And I think one of the things that we can do is we can endeavor, and I love that word. I know it's an old word. I want to bring back some of the old words.
Yes.
I love the word endeavor because it I think the word endeavor, at least to me, really, I sort of envision somebody rolling up their sleeves and determining and making a decision. Yeah. It's different somehow than just make a decision. Sure. I don't know.
It's intentionality is what it is.
Yeah. It has an intentionality. And I guess I have a visual of somebody like a mom putting on her apron, rolling up her sleeves, game on.
Right? It's time to go to work. Yeah,
exactly. And so I think that's it. I think we have to make a decision. We have to endeavor to know ourselves. I really believe strongly that we have so many options to distract ourselves from moments when the Holy Spirit's trying to get our attention. Mm-hmm. We pull out our phone, we turn on the screen, we do everything but listen to the Holy Spirit who's trying to prompt us and get our attention. Mm-hmm. So I would really say prayerfully making the decision, God, would you show me, would you teach me so that I can know? Because I will confess, for years, I ignored the warning signs of my own worry and anxiety.
Yeah.
Because I believe that was for wimps. That was for people who didn't, you know, who weren't tough enough, right? And I just stepped over myself, right? I ignored my own needs. I ignored my own worry and anxiety. I beat myself up because I was worried. And none of those things, those aren't good for me.
Yeah.
Those aren't good for my marriage. They're not good for my children or my homeschool or my relationship with God.
Right. Yeah.
But in contrast, going to God and saying, look, I've got some things here that I'm worried about. And I'm feeling some anxiety about some of these. And I honestly, I'm actually panicked about some of these. I really need you to help me. And I'm a huge advocate for journaling. I think there's so much to be gained for sitting down with a journal. And I love to go back and read my journals. Mm-hmm. And I often will go back with a different color and make notations like God answered this or whatever with a different color. But writing down and saying, okay, just if you had a piece of paper and just put things I'm worried about, things I'm anxious about, which is just a level up, right? Let's just be honest.
Right.
Things I'm actually panicked about.
Yeah.
And if you're not even comfortable with that language, things I'm tempted to be worried about, things I'm tempted to be anxious about.
You know, soften it a little bit.
Right. That's fine. But I'm a huge advocate. You know, we see this in 2 Kings, I believe, in King Hezekiah, when he's been threatened by one of the opposing kings is going to come and take them down. And he goes and he takes the threat and he lays it out before the Lord.
Yeah.
I think we can be honest with a pen in our hand.
Yeah.
And we will find things that are lingering that we don't even know are there.
Yeah.
When we dare to lay it out before the Lord and, you know, write these things down. I've done this several times. And literally lay it out before the Lord. And this is it, God. This is where I am.
Yeah.
And yet, I know this is not your will for me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. And I know that you're the sovereign of the universe, right? So.
Yep.
That is so good. And I think too, with journaling is I do that. And then at the end of every year or in times of panic, I go back and I read the year before. And I can see the things that were causing me to feel defeated, the things that were causing me the worries and the anxiety and the panic. Guess what? They really weren't that big of a deal. And God restored and resolved things. And so then it just gives you that much more hope and assurance the next time something comes around that it's okay, we're going to get through it, to take a break, to go outside and to learn from those past experiences.
Yep.
Exactly. And so if we have worry, anxiety and panic, what's the antithesis, right? I'm going to suggest worship.
Yes.
So when you feel that worry coming and as you intentionally endeavor to know yourself and start to see the signs, right? So it could be impatience. It could be undue frustration, could be exhaustion. It could be unreasonable emotion. Surely as women, we can admit that we sometimes have unreasonable emotion. As you start to learn these things in yourself, or maybe another one for me is restlessness. I can't focus on anything, right?
Right.
Because my head is spinning. So as you learn those signs and you think, ooh, I'm getting worried, worship.
Yeah.
Yes.
Worship. Turn on worship music. Get out your hymnal. I've said this a lot of times. And so if it was a repeat, maybe it's for someone specifically. I still keep my hymnal on my washer and my dryer. And I sing through it as I'm, because, you know, for years I had 9 people in this house. That makes for a lot of laundry.
Yeah. And so you spent a lot of time in the laundry room.
And I would just worship. And it wasn't always because I was worrying, but it was a great antidote for anything that could come my way. So worship is an excellent antidote. Yes. Number for anxiety, acknowledge it. Don't ignore it.
Yeah.
Call it what it is. I am anxious about this. Yes. Acknowledge it and then acknowledge him. Yeah. He is sovereign. He is sovereign over the whole thing. This moment in time that we're in that I'm fairly confident all of us would like to alter significantly. I'm going to choose to believe that this is the moment in time that God has placed us here.
Oh yeah. For such a time as this.
Exactly.
That's right.
As moms and as wives. And I'm going to also further suggest that we're not going to be able to be used by him as mightily as he has already ordained if we choose to lean into anxiety instead of acknowledging him as the sovereign of the universe.
Yeah. Amen. Right.
It paralyzes us for what he wants to use us for.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so worship for worry, acknowledgement for anxiety, and obviously prayer for panic.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Don't panic. Pray.
Yeah.
Pray.
I want to dive into those deeper because those are really incredible, and everybody should get out their pen and paper because I think we should dive into those deeper. But I think
We need to take a quick break. Actually, we need to tie up part one of this. Yes. And then let's come back on Wednesday and talk about that because that is so powerful. I want to really dig deeply into those things. So yes, we're out of time for today, but we'll be back on Wednesday. We'll continue talking about this. Rachel, you are such an encouragement every single time we have you on. I absolutely love this. So
great.
You guys, thank you for listening today. We will be back with you on Wednesday. Please, again, share this with your friends. I know you have friends who need encouragement. I know that you are weary yourselves and that you have people in your lives who are weary as well. So make sure you share this with them. We will see you back here in a couple days. Have a great afternoon. Bye-bye.
Every year, parents just like you are discovering Classical Conversations, a vibrant, supportive, Christian homeschooling program that's been equipping parents since 1997 with the resources, tools, guidance, and encouragement they need to homeschool their children with confidence and prepare them for a lifetime of success. Visit our website at classicalconversations.com to find a nearby community and learn more about homeschooling the Classical Conversations way. Classical Conversations, Christian homeschooling simplified.